Heavenly Father, we bow this afternoon to thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. But Father, most of all, we thank you for what we feel in our heart today.
Yes.
Pray, Father, with all the prayer requests that were made today, you know each need, each circumstance. Pray that your Spirit would visit this service. May we honor you and lift you up. Pray for the song service. Pray you give our pastor that what we need. We thank you again, Father, for your blessings. We thank you so much for this church and the people who are in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. 487. I mean, 484. I'm sorry. 484. Flip to page 484. Come, let us read. It's a 661. 661.
sing 336.
336.
There you go, pal.
Great song.
Singing surely sounded good, sounded like a house full in here tonight. But it's good to see each one of you. I talked to Sister Kathy Graves a little while ago, and her blood pressure is fluctuating quite a bit, up and down, and she's going to go see the cardiologist tomorrow. So please keep her in your prayers. I called to check on her. And also, little Zilly, her granddaughter, has got strep throat, I believe it is, if I remember right. Maybe something else. But anyway, she's sick. So we missed them today, and that's the reason that they were not here. So please keep them in your prayers. Glenn and Chris Puckett are traveling this week, so please pray for them. But I want to say I appreciate our service today, and I just could feel the Spirit of the Lord in it. I feel like somebody needed to move, but my prayer is that the Lord will speak to them and go with them and not turn them loose. That's what I pray for, that the Lord will just stay with them. And I don't know what the needs are. I really don't. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I do know when the Lord sends certain messages, I believe that there's needs for that. And so please, please pray, and that whatever the need is, that those needs will be met. I feel like sometimes that we have lost folks coming in and out of our doors, and I don't know that for a fact, but I feel like we do. And I would love for the Spirit to be so strong that the drawing Spirit would draw them to an altar of repentance, and they believe to the saving of their soul. I really, really would love that. And but I appreciate the church reaching. I appreciate everything that the church does to try to reach for those that need help. And don't ever quit. There's no quitting place. Just continue to reach. And we'll be doing what God wants us to do. I'm not going to be very long. I've just got a little bit of scripture that I want to read. I was hoping that folks would just start testifying and I'd get out of this, but we're just going to mind the Lord for just a minute. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus, the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, just for a minute, and I heard tell one time that, and this is way before my time and before y'all's time, but I heard tell that President Theodore Roosevelt got off of a train, I believe it was. It may have been a boat, but I think it was a train, and he'd come back from a hunting trip, and also on the train was a missionary that had been off somewhere witnessing to the lost. And the person that told it said that President Roosevelt got off the train and there was a great crowd of people there that to meet him when he got off the train. Even today, how we would react. If you like a certain president, you had a chance to be there when they come around, you make a big to-do about it. And that's what they were doing. But it said that this man got off the train and nobody even knew him or acknowledged that he was even there. He got off and went on his way. And I thought about how he must have felt. He had been over witnessing to people, trying to win people to the Lord, and nobody seemed to really care that he had done that. And the president had been out hunting, and the people were thrilled about it when he got off the train. But I said that to say this. Moses, when he went up on Mount Sinai and the Lord told him to write the commandments, and he wrote them in the stones there, the commandments. And we know that while he was up there communing with the Lord and talking to God, that the people, the Israelites, begin to become impatient about him being gone so long, communing with the Lord. In fact, I imagine some of them didn't know what he was doing or why he was gone so long. And you know the story that the Bible teaches us that after a little while, they became impatient because he didn't come back in the amount of time that they thought he should return from the mountain. I think he was up there 40 days. And they became impatient, and they convinced Aaron to make them some false gods. And this is hard for us to, this is hard for us as Christians to comprehend, but they convinced him to to make something that they could worship. They said, for this Moses, we know not what's become of him. And so the Bible said that that Aaron told them to give him all their jewelry and everything that they had that he could melt together and make an image that they could worship. Now Aaron said he just threw it in the fire and out came a molten calf. Now, I don't think it worked. I think Aaron might have told one right there. But nevertheless, they had this molten calf that they made, and the people went as far as to say, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt, knowing full well that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob through Moses brought them out of the land of Egypt. But they began to be impatient, and they wanted a God they could reach out and touch. They wanted a God they could feel, and I'm sure that this graven image was something that they could feel or touch. And the Bible teaches us that while Moses was up there communing with God, that God let him know that the people had created a golden calf to worship. And evidently Moses didn't realize how bad the situation was, but when he came down off of the mountain there, him and I believe Joshua was with him, and they came down off the mountain there, Joshua, I believe it was, said, I hear a noise, a sound, a noise coming. It said, it's not a sound of war, and he said something else that it's not a sound of, but it sounds like music. It sounds like singing that I hear. And when they got down there, Joshua and Moses saw what all the hullabaloo was about. The people were naked. They were dancing around. And they were worshiping this idol that they had Aaron to make. Moses became so disgusted at what he saw. And you can't blame him, because he had spent all this time up there talking to God on behalf of the people, that he threw the tablets down that God had given him to write, engraved in the stones. He threw them down and he broke them to pieces. And he was so aggravated, he went down to Aaron and said, what have you done? And that's when Aaron told him, said, you know, this is a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. They just got impatient. And so they wanted me to make them a god. And that's when he told him, he said, I just took their jewelry and cast it into the fire, and out came a calf. And we know that God was very angry about this. Let me go ahead and read to you in the 33rd chapter. What I've just told you was in the 32nd chapter. And let's read what happens here. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen real close to this. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people, I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Sounds like that God's very disgusted right here, doesn't it? That he's angry. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillars stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. This is the Lord talking. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This is Moses talking. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And as we begin to look at this, Moses here was concerned because in the first part of this chapter, God told him that his presence would not go with him. And he said, I'm going to send an angel out before you to take care of those ahead of you. We'll smite those, but my presence will not be with you. In fact, he said, if my presence go with you, I will consume you. That's how angry God was at what the children of Israel had done while Moses was up praying to God and trying to get instruction from God. And Moses here, we know that he went on behalf of the people many times, not just once. Moses went on behalf of the people many times to ask God to have mercy on the people, on their behalf. He did that. And he said, God, you know that they're a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, but God, I'm going to ask you to have mercy on them. Boy, how many times today I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ made that intercession for you and I today. God had to be disgusted. If he looked down at one time and he regretted that he had created man prior to the flood, he said their thoughts are continually on evil, and he destroyed the earth with water, with all but Noah and his family. Can you imagine what he thinks when he looks down upon us today and looks down upon our country and upon the world and the things that are going on? So I'm glad that we have somebody on our behalf, Jesus Christ, that makes intercession for us. But I wanted to kind of point out here, I'm not preaching tonight. This is just something the Lord wanted me to share. Where he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, Moses knew what it was like to be in the presence of God. He knew what it was like for God to be with him. As ignorant as I am, I know what it's like for God to be with me, and I know what it's like for God not to be with me. Amen? Preacher, are you saying God will abandon you? I'm going to tell you, there's some places that I go, that I have gone, that God wasn't welcome. I try to stay out in places now.
Amen.
But there were some places that I used to go that God was not welcome. My advice to you and my advice to myself today would be that if we're headed somewhere that God don't want to go, we just well turn around and come back. And so Moses here was making sure. And I preached a message one time that if he's not going, I'm not going. And I believe that's what Moses was saying here. Lord, if you're not going to go with us, if your presence is not going to be with us, then I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And so it would behoove us today to wherever we go in this life, whatever we do, to go somewhere where God can go with us, to be able to take him with us when we go. I've caught myself years ago, I've caught myself in a place where God was not welcome. He wouldn't have been welcome there. He wouldn't have felt at home there. And if he didn't feel at home there, I didn't have no business there. Amen? So I said that to say this, that when we go somewhere, when we go, always make sure that it's somewhere that the Lord would feel comfortable going with us. People say, well, I'm saved. The Lord's with me all the time. I'm going to tell you today, there's some places that you and I can choose to go that he won't go with you. Amen. He might protect you by his mercy, but his presence won't be there with you. So I want to encourage us today to be like Moses was here. Make sure God don't send us on this thing if you ain't going with us today. Balaam made the mistake when Balak, king of the Moabites, wanted the mercenary prophet to curse the children of Israel. The king of Moab, Balak, was concerned because there were so many Israelites over there, and he wanted the prophet to curse them, pronounce a curse upon them. Balaam was real wishy-washy with the Lord. And he knew that he couldn't do anything that the Lord wouldn't allow him to do. But Balak stayed on him about cursing the children of Israel. I want you to know today that the devil would love nothing better than to curse us today. Curse the church. And we've got somebody on our behalf today that's preventing that from happening. And so we know the story that God told Balaam not to go. Balaam wanted him to come over there, and he wanted to talk to him. He wanted to show him the people over there. And he wanted him to pronounce a curse on the people. And Balaam let him know, said, if you gave me all of your house and silver and gold, I can't go beyond what God will let me do. But nevertheless, you know, if your head's set on doing something, I found this out in my life, if your head's set on doing something that God don't want you to do, do you know if your head's set on it, he'll let you go ahead and go? He sure will. And God told Balaam not to go. And Balaam kept going up and praying to find out if he could go and talk to Balak, if he could curse the children of Israel. And he kept on and kept on until finally the Lord said, just go on and go. I've said this before, Vanessa, if Belinda don't want me going somewhere and I keep on and she says, just go on and go, that means don't go. And God meant that. God meant that. Don't go. Balaam went, got on his little donkey. The Bible called it, he got on his ass and he went. And boy, when we're going against the will of the Lord, when God's not with us, wherever we're going, boy, you better watch out. We're headed down a dangerous road. Bible said they got over there a little ways and that donkey could see an angel standing there with a sword drawn. And the Bible said that he turned and went out in the field. Well, this angry Balaam, and I believe he smoked that donkey and got him back over there. And they went on a little further and they came to a vineyard. The Bible said there was a wall on each side, very narrow space. And they walk in there and the donkey could see that angel with the sword drawn. And I could just see old Balaam driving that donkey, trying to get him to go. And he went over there and he thrust himself into the wall. And I believe it said that he crushed Balaam's foot against the wall there. Well, this made Balaam very angry. He began to smoke and hit, probably cursed the donkey. So they went on a little bit further, and the Bible said that an angel got even a more narrow place than he was there at the vineyard, where you couldn't turn to the left or to the right. Boy, that'd preach, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. No place to go. And said that he got over there and he couldn't go to the right or the left. So the little old donkey just did all that it knew to do, and it would just lay down on the ground. Balaam sitting up there on him, maybe had a saddle or a blanket on him. And now here's this donkey laying down on the ground, and Balaam right there with him. He began to smoke that donkey, and I can just imagine what all he was calling him. And he said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you right now. That's how angry he was. Little did he know, man, that beast was protecting his life. Boy, how many times has God, when I've been on the wrong road, just going, determined to go where I'm going, and God just put up a merciful roadblock. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm telling you. And after a little bit, I don't believe that donkeys could talk back then. I really don't. But this one's good. The only way that Balaam was going to understand. This donkey commenced to talk to him. He told him, said, I've been your beast for all these years. I've always done everything that you had me to do. I can imagine how many times he probably pulled the plow and carried him around and all of that. And you have smoked me these three times. And the Bible said that the eyes of Balaam were open when he saw the angel standing there with the sword drawn. And the angel told him, let him know, if that donkey hadn't warned you, I was fixing to kill him. That's what was fixing to happen. Say that to say this. Let's make sure that wherever we're going, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. This is the backbone. I love y'all. But I want to encourage you that wherever we're going, let's make sure God's with us. Let's make sure he's with us. Boy, I'm thankful for some of those merciful roadblocks that he's put in my life. Oh, I got mad at a lot of them because it hindered what I was going to do. It hindered what I had my mind set on doing. But I'm so glad that God put that roadblock out there for me. So I want to encourage you today, let's be like Moses. If we're going somewhere, let's make sure he's going with us. A lot of times, and I appreciate the church here, I feel like the things that the church has wanted to do, I really feel like the Lord has been a part of it. Because if he wasn't, he wouldn't bless it. And he's blessing it. But I want to warn us today that there's a lot of things that sound good. There's a lot of things that look good on the surface. But let's really pray and find out whether God's in the matter or not. If he's in it. Because if he's not, we could be heading in harm's way. I'm not talking about an angel standing there with a sword fixing slope, cut us to pieces. I'm talking about there's a lot of things that you and I could be facing if we're not taking the Lord with us today. But I love you today, and I know y'all know this, but this is what the Lord laid on our heart today. And I really appreciate God. And I just needed that little refresher in my heart and mind about Balaam. I've read that so many times and studied on that, but I need that little refresher about what he did. There was an old black preacher several years ago, long time ago. My daddy told me about him and said he preached about Balaam, and the title of his message was "A Fool on a Mule in the Middle of the Road." And I thought about that. But Balaam showed a lot of what hard-headedness, what being dead set on doing our own will do, and the trouble that it'll get us into. But I'm glad that when there are forces out there that would love nothing better than to curse God's people today. But I'm glad that because of the hand of God, that we've got an intercessor today that's protecting us and watching over us and keeping us safe. Love everyone. Anybody want to testify? Anything you need to say? It's a great asset to be able to seek God's advice when we make a decision. That's a part of being a Christian that I don't ever take lightly, being able to go to God. Because a lot of folks today will make decisions or go places that just from the want to in their own mind and not seek out whether God's pleased with it or not. I appreciate you sharing that, Sister Maggie. I remember one time, and I've told y'all before, when I was a kid, got my driver's license, and I wanted to buy my first vehicle. And I fell in love with a little used truck down in Palmerdale that I thought that I just had to have. Didn't cost very much, but at that time, it was a lot of money. And I looked at it, and fell in love with it, and the salesman told me the next day, he said, well, I've got somebody that's already, they put some money down on it for me to hold it, and said, I'm obligated to them if they go through. And I remember being so mad and so upset. I remember telling my mama, that was the truck I wanted. Mama said, well, maybe it was the Lord's will that you didn't have it. You ever thought about that? I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear about the Lord's will. I wanted my will getting done. And the Lord let me get it. Lo and behold, the man backed out. The car salesman called me. Maybe it was just a trick by the car salesman. I don't know. Maybe he was just telling me to make me want the truck that much more. But nevertheless, I come up with $1,200 and I got it. And it stayed in shock all the time. So Mama was right. She knew more about God's will than I did. But yes, I have learned to, even in the simple things that we take, seek out God's leadership and guidance and find out what He'd have us to do. Go with that. Anybody else?
Steve, we had an experience kind of like that. We had a 1979 Dodge Omni, which was a perfect little car, never had a minute's trouble with it. Hadn't had it but a year or two, but that's not what we wanted. Dodge made a car then, it was called an 024, which was an Omni, but it was a sports car. Good version, had a long pointed nose in the back, sloped out that window, and we wanted one of those, or I did. And we went by Roebuck Dodge, and they had one sitting out there in front. And it was red, and she loves red, and I wanted that car. And it was raining. And we stopped and looked at that car in the rain, and without even considering much about it, we traded. We were so happy because we had our little red Dodge 024 sports car. And we went home to Locust Fork, and I started work the next day and quit. Alternator belt broke. Only had 19,000 miles on it, so.
And it stayed like that.
And get that fixed, some of the pips would break. Get that fixed. Long story short, I finally carried it to a guy that used to work at a Dodge dealership, had his own garage. And he looked at it and he said, Roger, that car's been wrecked. And he got the checking on it. They didn't tell me at the dealership. I think they're supposed to tell you that now. But he said it was totaled and rebuilt. And he said, everything under the hood, he said, they did a magnificent job on the bodywork. And he said, the stuff under the hood is not exactly lined up right. And so he let it, like you said, he let us have it because we wanted it so bad. We had a perfectly good little car that never gave us a minute's trouble. And we had a perfectly beautiful little sports car that never gave us a minute's peace. Until I traded it for an old Ford pickup truck even.
Yeah, sometimes we do things on impulse. Amen. Anybody else? Appreciate you praying for us, and I appreciate what we've been able to feel in this service.